ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Shastra Shiromani, Paramahamsa Sanghita, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 8, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Pungsastriyamithuni bhavametam Tayor mitho hridaya grantim ahuhu Ato grihakshetra sutapta vitair Janasya moho yamahammameti. Translation: the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases one's life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Purport: sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman, and when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called hridaya granthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate either for the principles of varnashrama or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi, but such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Sanghita, it is stated, Brahmadya yagya valkya dya muchante stri sahayanaha bodhyante kechanaite shang visheshang chavido viduhu. Sometimes it is found among exalted persons like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship and consequently they forget their relationship with Krishna. Here in this is Brahma Yagya Valkya. So Yagya Valkya is also mentioned as a personality who's not entangled by his wife. Who's the wife of Brahma? Why there's more than one wife? Any Srimad Bhagavatam quiz? Savitri is one. Saraswati, Gayatri, Yajnavalkya. Anyone read the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavad Gita as it is, where he's quoted as speaking to his wife. Gargi is one, and Maitreyi is another one. This verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted often. It's a very important verse to learn and understand because it discusses the basic principle of material existence. We're in this material world, and at least everyone who's sitting here is interesting in not being in the material world anymore. We hope. We're not interested in being in the material world. But if we are interested in the material world, it's because of this attraction. And we're trying to get rid of that attraction. Now, I'd say the basic principle of material existence. Actually, that doesn't come directly in the Sanskrit. If you look in the Sanskrit, we won't find any such thing as the basic principle of material existence. But it's understood from the term moha, which means illusion. So we're in this material world, the illusory material world. Actually, if we want to take it a step back further, then we can say the basic principle of material existence is forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna bhuli sajiva adi bahimuk. Forgetfulness and inimical an inimical attitude toward Krishna. Atev maya tare deya shangsara duk. And therefore maya, who is the personality who spins the illusion, this material world that comes in the fourth canto, the swan, Paramatma speaking to who was Puranjan in the previous life and then became queen, the wife of Malayadvaj became queen, I can't remember the name, but when she was about to die, he said that this material world, which is ruled by some woman, means maya, illusion. Vidarbi is her name. This, the name of the queen. So ruled by some woman, this means the attraction, makes illusion. So we should be very interested to get free from this illusion. I'm speaking on this. I thought to speak on this verse today, upon being informed of what I presumed was something not very eventful. Last year, in the Bay Area, in the west coast of the USA, I had a midweek evening program in an ISKCON center, attended mostly by seeing them. I could see their South Indian who had come to that area of the world for what most South Indians go to that area of the world for working in the IT industry. That means for Google and Apple mostly. So they were connected with this gun, and all the men and women were sitting together in the class, so before in the temple room. So I said to them, I tried to say it very politely, that please don't mind me saying that, please don't take offense, but if you were in India, you wouldn't do it. If you came to a temple, the men and women would sit separately, and now you're all sitting mixed up together. This means you're becoming influenced by the American way of life, which is not conducive for spiritual life. So I can only suggest to you that you sit separately. And with, it seems, a little reluctance, they did so. So I didn't think much of that afterward. Well, I did actually, because on my way back from America, I stopped in Kuwait and had a program with Indian people who had also gone overseas, but not to America, to Kuwait, which is following these principles. That culture is stronger there because it's Muslim-dominated country. They have that culture more strongly than the Hindus do nowadays. So I noticed that the first program I did there, and I said, well, I mentioned that to the assembled visitors at that program. And you see, this is the culture. In America, they don't have this culture, so that's something which is conducive. And I also mentioned, because it's an Islamic country, this culture is likely to go on longer than it is in India. So why is that? Why should men and women sit separately? We're all spirit souls. We're all Atma. There's no difference between Atma. That's true. But there is a difference between a male body and a female body. And in this material world, that attraction between male and female binds us in this material world. Why don't we love Krishna? Well, we've misplaced that love to material attachment. That attachment has, instead of being attached to Krishna, we become, a male becomes attached to a female becomes attached to a male, and material life runs on this, especially when male and female can become combined in marriage. Marriage is a commitment. They may become combined like cats and dogs in the modern age without marriage. But in marriage, because it's supposed to be a commitment, then that increases illusion. Now, in Shastra, it's recommended that everyone gets married. And Srila Prabhupada also writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in one purport, that everyone should get married. He writes that. He said, especially every woman should get married, which means there's some little leeway is there for the men, but everyone should get married. That's the general principle. And then why, if it's this causes illusion? Because that dharmic system that regulates that propensity which otherwise drags us down. Karma. This attraction between male and female is called karma. So that is a gate to hell. Among the three great gates to hell. Karma, krodha, tatha, lobhas. Tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Trividang narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. The three gates to hell, and karma, material desire, is always mentioned first. In mentioning the six enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsar, karma is mentioned first. Karma is mentioned first and matsarya is mentioned last. And it's like a circle, like the periodic table. It goes straight, but actually it's round. So, They're intimately connected. This enviousness of Krishna, matsarya means envy, enviousness of Krishna manifests as material desire. So, in between, everything else comes up. Krodh, lobh, moha, mada, all, and asakti, material attachment, it all manifests from envy of Krishna, which manifests. That means the kam, which is the natural propensity of the living being to desire, that manifests as material desire. So when man and woman unite, that is supposed to be in marriage, so that that propensity can be regulated and purified. That's why in dharma, the vivaha sanskara, that is necessary part of every sanskara means a purificatory ceremony. It's a necessary part of everyone's life, unless they opt out of marriage, which is not generally recommended. All you brahmacharis. Not generally recommended, but there is the when one gets in the emergency lane, then just like the ambulance is driving, it's not generally recommended to drive in and out of the traffic very fast. But in this emergency, you can do it. It's dangerous, but you need to get to the hospital quickly to take the patient, or otherwise the driver just puts on the siren and pretends there's an emergency. But if there's an actual emergency, then you have to get to the hospital quick, and it's also a risk. But it's a necessary risk. Otherwise, drive carefully. You can go slowly. So dharma, that is a system to, the proper understanding of dharma. Mostly people understand dharma as a means for producing artha and karma, and maybe at some point moksha, but not very soon. They don't think like that. But real dharma means Bhagavad dharma. That which is meant for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this world, Bhagavad dharma, and sadharan dharma, or the rules and regulations of this world, they overlap in many ways. One accepts a wife. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in one of his songs how, what is that? Dharma Smarya Grihine Kar. I can't remember exactly. In my youth, remembering my dharma, I accepted the hand of a wife. He himself had to think of it more because his elder relatives were all dead. So as a matter of dharma, he accepted. But the attachment will come. Nevertheless, even if one accepts a wife, then attachment, material attachment will come. That's understood. But that is regulated. And in Krishna consciousness, that is channeled toward Krishna, ideally. But the attraction develops, that when one has a wife, then he needs to have a home, money, all these things. If one is renounced, he doesn't need, and in fact shouldn't have. If one is supposed to be renounced, he shouldn't have a home or a wife. Otherwise, what's the meaning to being renounced? Renounced means the first thing you have to renounce is female association. Home, of course, sannyasi can live in a mutt, but the traditional Vedic sannyasis prior to Shankara, they didn't have mutts. They would just wander. If you see the descriptions in Shastra, they just wander here and there. Shankara established the mutt system for sannyasis. And Buddha, prior to that, also made a similar system. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that even after renunciation, one can become attached to a temple or the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. So they can become attached to that also. That's why a sannyasi has said he shouldn't stay very long in one place, because he may become attached to that. So Srila Prabhupada also said that sannyasi should always be moving, talking about his sannyasis. There was an anecdote in Vrindavan. He told one sannyasi, you always keep on moving, always move, always keep on moving. To another sannyasi, so you just stay here and manage this temple. Different responsibility for them. Of course, Vrindavan is different. That we see that Narada also had the curse that he should not stay more than 3 days in one place. He got cursed both by Daksha and by Kala Kanya. You find in the fourth canto, but she also cursed him because she wanted to marry him. And he said, I'm a brahmachari. Oh, well, I'm going to make sure if you're not going to marry anyone else either, because you keep on moving. Then no one will agree to marry because the wife wants a home. That Srila Prabhupada said, he often quoted this, the Marshall's economic principles, that the economy develops from family life. Because if a man is unmarried, then what does he care? He's irresponsible. He can do whatever he likes. He can just run here and there. I remember quite a few years ago, the parents of one of my disciples, in Dubai, complaining or in distress, coming to me, oh, our son, he gets a job and he doesn't do it properly, he's so irresponsible. Just get him married, I told him. Just get him married. He'll settle down, then he'll become responsible. Any idea who that might be? And it worked. Of course, they would have got him married anyway. His father was getting everyone else married all over the place. To see him is to get married. But that principle, okay, now I have the responsibility. Now I have to take this seriously. Of course, in modern life, marriage is only because that's why marriage is required under the headline of dharma, because if it's only on the basis of attraction, mutual attraction, that is... What is that? Dampatyevi biruchi hetu. In Kali Yuga, the man and woman come together simply on the basis of mutual attraction. Then there's no responsibility. Therefore, if it's on the basis of dharma, then responsibility is there. That now I have a duty to, and they, it's said in the marriage ceremony that you accept the wife, you have to take charge of them. I just saw a comment from one of my compiling this book, Women's Masters and Mothers. One devotee told me that Mukunda Dattaprabhu, his tabla teacher, was an American Christian who married. He was in India previously, and he married an Indian Christian, so he has some idea of Vedic culture, because mostly until recently, I don't know now, but the Christians in India, they mostly followed Hindu culture to a large extent. Even the way they worship Mary, they dress, they put some garland and do an arati, put some incense, all these things, offer some fruit, and nothing to do with what goes on in Rome, in the Vatican and all this kind of thing. So so his tabla teacher, had exposure to Indian culture, said that, he said, why arranged marriages are better? Because it's not on the basis of attraction, it's solely on the basis of dharma. The marriage is arranged by the parents, and you accept the wife solely on the basis of, not because you like her or what you can get, but you're given this responsibility by your parents, and you accept the responsibility, taking the daughter from her father. So it's all on the basis of dharma, responsibility. So to fulfill that responsibility, one needs home. Previously, people would live in their father's home, but still that one becomes attached there. In the wedding ceremony, there's also the Kashi Yatra, the priest says, are you really sure you want to get married? You know, this material world, it's all illusion, and the best thing is to renounce this world. And so the boy says, okay, and he starts walking off. And then someone comes and says to him, well, no, and then usually they're very easily convinced. They come back. it's a ritual. But I don't know, maybe the original idea is to give him the chance, you know. Now is your last chance. Now is your last chance. The perverted reflection of that in English culture is the stag party. That means the night before you get married, you go out with all your mates and you go to all the pubs and you get as drunk as you can. Because the idea is your last chance to enjoy yourself. So you go to all the, after that, you're tied down. And now they, anyway, the women imitate that. Now they have a hen party or something like that. I don't know. It's all these things happen after I left England. So that responsibility, but to discharge that responsibility, one has home, land, or in kshetra means land, but it also means attachment to one's place of residence, one's place of birth, this janani janma bhumischa swargameva gariyasi, one's mother and one's homeland, one's place of birth is more glorious than heaven. So the saying goes. It's not that everything in Sanskrit is transcendental. Actually, most of it's not. One becomes attached, one becomes... It all develops from attachment between husband and wife, male and female. And then becomes a very strong attachment within the heart. Then children come. And there's a requirement for money. Let me see. There's a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let's see if I can find it just now. I didn't prepare the class. So let's see if I can... Actually, there are so many. I just here opened. Well, yeah, that's his offering. Where will that come? Amar jibon shoda papirota. Jobone jokon. Dhana uparjane. Hoino bipula kami. Dharma smari. Grihini ko. Dharino tokona ami. In youth, I became very, very, very much desirous to accumulate wealth. Remembering my duty, dharma smari, I accepted the hand of a wife. Shongshara pataye. This means, it literally means to spread out the samsara. It means ato griha kshetra sutabdha vidahi, all these things. Taha shahit. Kala koi koinu koto. With the wife, I spoiled so much time developing my material existence. Samsara is known, it's one of those words which is gradually entering the English vocabulary. It means repetition of birth and death, but it also means, in Bengali, also means family life. In Hindi, is it used like that also? Samsara means wife, yeah. In Tamil. Bahushuta shuta. Many sons and daughters. Janama lobhilo. Morame hoinu hoto. So many sons and daughters, they gained their birth via us, me and my wife, or the two wives he had. And maram, this means the marma, the essence of life, it became spoiled in this way. Shangshare bha, family duties, bare dine dine, increased day by day. Achala hoilo gati, and then my goal of life became unfixed, I couldn't see it. Bardhaka ashya, agherilo amare, austere hoilo gati. Then in old age, most of these songs, it seems that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote them in old age, and so he feels that now it's the principle of old age, I'm surrounded by it, I'm as if attacked by it, and my mind, my consciousness has become unsteady. So he goes on like that, explaining how he feels, how a materialistic person becomes beset by all these different manifestations of illusion. Of course, in other songs, he'll say, Dara putra nija deha kutumba palane sharvada bekulami chinu mone mone. Yeah, he has many, many songs like this, that in the matter of maintaining my family, body, home, I'm always in anxiety, and my mind is just cut to pieces like this. So he has many songs like this. And he also has songs like Sarvashva Toma, Charane Shopi, I've offered everything to you, and so on. Anyway, the point is that this brings this attraction, develops the love of Krishna, which is the basic principle of existence, becomes perverted into the basic principle of spiritual existence in terms of attraction between male and female. So someone may come out of that. He may say, all right, I'm not going to marry. I'm not going to have home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. We may think, well, if I remove all of this, then the attraction toward female, that won't remain. But it doesn't go away so easily. The manifest from the attraction between male and female, when that's made pakka or solid, then develops more and more the attraction to everything else in the material world. So one may think, I'll remove myself from all this. I won't get married. I won't have home. I won't have a family. I won't have money. If we remove all the immediate causes for material attraction, that is certainly helpful. It's required to become free from that attraction. But it doesn't, in and of itself, removing oneself from that attraction, it doesn't automatically mean that mentally one is free from such an attraction. Therefore, particularly brahmacharis and sannyasis, they have to be aloof from all these things. Brahmacharis, young boys, they'll go and beg from their mothers in the village, bhavati bhiksham dehi. They'll see mostly the brahmacharis will be living in a grihastha ashram. The gurukul is a grihastha ashram. That's described in Bhagavatam, that if the wife of the guru is very young, then you should not allow her because she's guru mata. She will massage the boys, this and that. Look. And she may ask them to, you comb their hair or something like this, but it's Bhagavatam. Narad Muni said, you have to be, certain things are allowed, certain things are not allowed. Manu also discusses these things. What you can do and what you can't do to the guru's wife, who's just like your mother. Manu also says, matra swasra duhitrava, navivikthasano bhavet, balavan indriya gramo, vidvangsangs apikarshati. One should be cautious, one should not sit close to one's wife. Not one's wife. Wife is allowed. Not mother, sister, daughter. Actually, even wife isn't allowed in public. No, not in public. Not what to speak of holding hands and kissing and all this. In public, even one should not sit with one's wife. That's what I'm saying. In the temple, at least in the temple, you sit separately. Because the senses are so strong, and Prabhupada would always emphasize this point, vidvangshana pikashati. But even you may think, well, some very low class person, they may be attracted to their mother, but he says, even a learned person, he may be attracted. And one of my godbrothers, he explained this, actually that's stated in Mahabharata also, that the Kunti, she gave birth very young. Generally, the girls will give birth very young. So by the time their first son becomes pubertal, they hit puberty, then the mother will still be quite young and beautiful. Nowadays, the women are already grandmother age by the time they have their first child. Really, if they're 30 years old, then they're already grandmother. It's grandmother age. So, but... They may have a grown boy who's 15, 16 at that age, and they still may be very beautiful. So that some mention of that is there in Mahabharata. I can't remember exactly with Kunti like that. So anyway, the point is that brahmacharis and sannyasis especially, they should remove themselves from this. But grihasthas should also. Otherwise, where's the dharma? Grihasthas also, they're supposed to be for purification. And male and female, if they come together, this is basic ABCs of spiritual life. Even if male and female come together, there's attraction. That's why even in the Christian churches, probably not now, but at least in my childhood, I remember, in the Christian church, the men stand on one side and the women stand on one side and the women on the other. And it was going out of fashion when I was a child going to Catholic Church in England, but the women would cover their heads also. They don't have saris to cover, but they'd put some head scarf. What's it called? Some silk scarf, or not silk, cotton. So they'd cover their head. That was the, and even the culture used to be, and it's still there. You'll see the old women in Russia and places like, when they go outside, or basically all the time, they keep their head covered. That was the, even people there eating beef, but they don't get divorced. It wasn't there in the culture. So that dharma all over the world, in it, you have to marry. And marry means you don't mix up with others' wives. You have to be very careful in this regard. That even the lechers, they understood all these things. The very lowest class of people and the very highest class of people in the West, they would have illicit sex. Highest class means the so-called aristocratic people. They would be having all illicit sex here and there, just like the last British governor of India. His wife was famous for, with Nehru and everything, but Nehru wasn't her first fling. She was famous for Edwina Mountbatten. Even after she was married, she after some time, she just vanished for a year or so. And then she came back. Hello, I'm back again. She went all over the world by herself. So, but that culture was there. And the high class also means the kshatriyas, they would marry. Along with the girl they marry, so many maidservants would come. And the maidservants would also get some children, thanks to the Raja. So that was understood. Prabhupada mentions that also. But they wouldn't have they'd be looked after, but they wouldn't have rights to the throne, any such thing. So that's within the scope of dharma. So many girls would go, and there would be concubines. That word is there in English. And that was there in other countries also. Concubine. The Nawab of Lucknow had how many? 2,000 wives or something. They're only supposed to have 4 at a time, Muslims, but they have so many. And so the idea is that, yeah, every woman should be married. So then generally there are more women born than, more girls born than men, and some men will become renounced also. So some girls, they should be married or to a man who can support them. It means he has economic strength and physical strength also enough to give them children. And he's responsible, not irresponsible. That's also, he should be very responsible. So that understanding is there, but at the same time, even it's not that, well, brahmacharis have to be very strict and grihasthas not. They have to be very careful also. These vanashram communities, the great danger. And we've seen in ISKCON farm projects how the one great danger is if the husbands and wives, the wives of different husbands, they become friendly with someone else's husband. And then the rest of the story is obvious and it just spoils the whole community. So that's a major part of Vedic culture, that men and women are to be separate, because otherwise the sexual attraction arises. Vidvangshang apikarshati. Even in a learned person, even someone who knows this is not right, we should not do it, the sexual attraction is very powerful. It is the basic principle of material existence. Love for Krishna is very powerful. And when that becomes perverse, it also becomes very powerful. So we have to be very, very careful about this. And if we're not careful about this, then there can be actually no spiritual life, no developed spiritual life. There are certain rules that we have to follow in this material world so that we can become developed in spiritual life. Spiritual life means bhakti pareshanu bhava viraktiranyatra. Bhakti means to become attached to Krishna and detached from everything else. But you can't be attached to Krishna and attached to Maya. That is the mistake of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, who have a kind of one strain of Mayavad, in seeing that, well, we're spiritual, so everything's all spiritual, and the women are also spiritual, and we don't see them, we don't see the women as we don't see them as ordinary, we see them as gopis. Yeah, all right, but you're not Krishna. So you have to worship their feet. The gopis, you worship their feet. But you don't enjoy them. That's their misunderstanding. So it's actually a very basic point, which, as I say, even the lectures, they used to understand until they also got attacked by this Mayavad, everything is all one, Marxist, feminist ideas, liberal humanism. And still there are some who want to follow up there. Even in America, there are still what they call, traditional Catholics, and they follow all the old Catholic system, the men and women on different sides, the women have their heads covered, they have the mass in Latin, with the priest turned, instead of looking at the people, he's looking towards, supposed to be looking toward God, that means he has his back to all the people. They changed all these things. I remember as a kid, when they changed, all of a sudden, the nuns were walking around with short skirts. The nuns means like the sannyasinis. You didn't see that, probably. And because that was allowed, because we have to be modern to fit, that was what they thought in Vatican II. And then the next thing, then the nuns, they had short skirts, and then they weren't nuns anymore, because they married the priests, or someone else. Yeah, really, that's what happened. So when they said that, well, we had to fit into the modern world, so we shouldn't be so strict in separating the men from the women, and the priests, and the nuns, they have to mix with people. So they mix with people, and then they stop being priests, and they stop being nuns, because that attraction came about, the idea, you mix, you be friendly. We see the priests, they're all so strict, and they don't talk to women, and you have to be more open and be empathetic to everyone. So they're empathetic to the women, and then they stop being priests. So for a renunciant, a good level of distance is required. Especially for renunciants, but even between man and wife in Vedic culture, not that they're with each other all day, every day. Practically, they won't see each other most of the time. When the wife is serving the meal or brings some water, otherwise they stay in their own apartment. That was the culture. Maybe the lower castes, they'd be working in the fields together. But even working in the fields, have you seen? The men are in one group and the women in another. Have you seen that? Even that. Even they have to work in the field because they're agriculturalists. And that not all the time. Mostly the men will work in the field, but only when there's replanting rice and harvesting rice. Then the women will go to work because everyone is needed. But even then they'll be separate. So that... That principle is required for everyone, and if it's not followed, then how can there be any serious spiritual life? It's you may chant Hare Krishna, but it's like pouring on the fire petrol from one side and water from the other. You chant Hare Krishna, and then you mix up all together, and the attraction becomes developed. By chanting Hare Krishna, we want to be attracted to Krishna, but that means also non-attracted to everything else. Now in the Western world, they have this thing that men and women meet, if they know each other, they'll embrace each other. Not chest to chest, but shoulder to shoulder. And we see in America and England and Canada, our devotees do it also. And this is insane. Completely insane. Even if you say that men and women shouldn't sit together in the temple, it becomes something controversial, and they don't want me to go there again. This is insane. Is our movement a Sahajiya movement? I leave it up to you. I won't answer the question. It's acceptable that a sannyasi can travel around everywhere with a young woman. The same kind of thing that we would make jokes about all the bogus gurus, and now what's this? Then we have to justify it, we have to make some bogus philosophy. No, actually it's spiritual. And then we become sahajiyas, prakritas, same thing. I quoted this verse, I think that was When was that? That must have been 2012, I believe it was, in Miami in USA, on Radhashtami. I gave class and I spoke that we have to, if discussing Radha Tattva, first we have to be very clear that this is aprakrita. This is not on the mundane platform. And what is the mundane platform? We shouldn't think that Radha Krishna Leela is something like our attraction between man and wife. And I quoted this, how this, the attraction between male and female binds one in the material world. Then afterward, after the class, one of my godbrothers came and said, "Oh, I'm so happy. I never heard in 20 years here, I've been here 20 years, no one ever quoted this verse. No one ever talks these things." And they're not talking these things? We should discuss. If this is the basic principle of material existence and we want to be free from material existence, we should be discussing these things all the time. And Prabhupada actually said in graphic language, which I won't repeat here, that we should discuss these things regularly. This is kirtan. This is kirtan. This is Bhagavatam. Topics of Bhagavatam. That's, to discuss this is kirtan. And if we think, yeah, we all know that. Yeah, we don't have to hear that, do we? Then, if we don't hear, but we're reluctant to hear it, that means that we're not very serious to become free from material attraction. It means we're not very serious to become attracted to Krishna. There's English saying to have your cake and eat it. That means if you have a cake, then you have a cake. But when you eat it, you don't have a cake because it's already gone. So the idea to have your cake and eat it. You both have a cake and you eat it and still you have a cake. It's not possible. So you want to have material enjoyment, which is what it comes down to, actually, and you want to have Krishna prema. It's not possible. We have to choose. We have to choose. Do we want Krishna or do we want Maya? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I often quote, says, "Kam krodh lobha moha mada adi abhishta eshab na chare kishe pabe radha krishna." As long as we are absorbed in lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, all these things, then how can we attain Radha Krishna? It's not possible. Bishoy chariya kabe shuddha habe man tabe hamahere bo Sri Vrindavan. We can actually see Vrindavan when we give up. There's a chariya means the sense of that of volitionally giving up. It's not that it just somehow or other. Now I've been in the movement for almost 40 years now. But does it mean that 40 years. Okay, Maya says, "All right, goodbye, you've done it. All right, we'll give you a certificate. 40 years. Okay, now Maya says, "All right, I'm going to go and see someone else." She's got plenty of energy. She is the material energy. So she can cope with any number of jivas and give them, every single one of them, full attention. She's the perverted reflection of, her energy is the perverted reflection of Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with unlimited jivas intensely, and she does also. So it's not sometime in my youth, I used to think, well, now I'm a young brahmachari. When I get older, automatically, because the desires go down as you get older. But it's not that just by growing old, Maya goes away. It's not like that. It's by Krishna's mercy, by spiritual advancement, then it's possible. But it's not going to be possible unless we follow some basic guidelines and understand the necessity for them also. You may say, well, people in America don't like that. Well, that's why they're in America. And next life they may be in some different kind of hell, or in a cat body or a dog body. That's why we're in the material world. America, by the way, is part of the material world. That's why we're in it. Because we don't take these things very seriously. If we're going to come out, we have to take it very seriously. It's not a matter of, it's not a child's play, not some child's game. Hare Krishna. We may take all the precautions also and still fall down. But if we take the precautions, if we don't take the precautions, then we're already fallen anyway. If we're trying, at least we're on the path. So that example is there, Vishwamitra, he took all precautions, and silly fell down. But then he came back again. But if you don't take precautions, and if we take precautions, we may fall down, and if we don't take precautions, we won't fall down. How to not fall down? Don't take any precautions, because you won't fall down because you're already down. There's no falling down. You're not going up at all. So if you don't want to fall down, just be fallen. But then you have to accept the result of that also. So sadhu sabdhan. Sadhus, they should be careful, very careful. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, protest? I don't usually expect protests here, but in America you have to be very careful, actually. Generally, if I go in a group and there's a lot of Western people, I won't even say that. I won't even say. Because then they're not ready to hear. New people, Westerners, even older people, they're not ready to hear. They're very attached to the wrong ideas.
Guruji, in our movement, someone is on sannyasi level or vanprastha.
If someone's on the sannyasi level, that's an interesting way to say it. To be officially a sannyasi and to actually be on the sannyasi level may be something different. Simply accepting sannyas doesn't mean that one's on the sannyasi level. Simply accepting initiation doesn't actually mean that one is really qualified for that.
So, if he is deviated,
sannyasi is deviated means he's not a sannyasi.
So, what is his destination?
What is his destination? That depends on Krishna. Apichet sudara charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvayava satosisa. If he's serious to practice Krishna consciousness and takes sannyas and falls, then Krishna will save him. He'll see. But then one shouldn't take sannyas. Of course, there's always a danger, but one should be very cautious both in accepting sannyas and in giving sannyas. That's true of giving initiation and accepting initiation. One has to. Srila Prabhupada writes that one should be, in accepting the life of renunciation, one should be confident of being able to at least control the gross sexual acts. He writes that earlier in the first canto. So we should be very careful. I remember that one sannyasi who had given sannyas to someone else, who fell away quite shortly, he said he was very disappointed in giving him sannyas, because almost immediately he could understand that he wasn't fit for that. He said, I'll give it a try. See how it is. There's no giving it a try. And then he had been in India for several years, and then that sannyasi took him to the Philippines, where there's all Western things available. So immediately he hit the ice cream parlors. In those days, I think, in India, you didn't have ice cream parlors and this and that. And he was just, so it was quite plain that he wasn't fit to be a sannyasi. And he's still in Krishna consciousness, and he still distributes Prabhupada's books, but he's very critical of all the sannyasis, which I think is not very fitting for a person who's done that. It's Srila Prabhupada writes, well, he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the pastime of Chota Haridas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. He fell down and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punished him, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives 7 lessons to be learned from this. Why was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so strict on a minor infringement of sannyasi? And then one reason he gives is it would discourage devotees, because they look up to the sannyasi. And then if sannyasi falls, it becomes very discouraging. He's saying, well, if he can't make it, what hope is there for me? We hear that sometimes. And there are other reasons he gives.
This is gross level fall down, but what about subtle level, philosophical?
Subtle level, philosophical. That's more dangerous in many ways. And more difficult to ascertain. That's why in our movement at the present time, it seems you can have all kind. Well, we used to say that you can have all kinds of philosophical deviations, but unless you're caught with your pants down, as they say, then everything's okay. But nowadays you can be caught with your pants down and life goes on also, so. Hare Krishna. It's a dangerous situation. It's a very, very dangerous situation.
We understand that people who are attached to sense gratification, they don't like to hear this shloka.
People who are attached to sense gratification don't like to hear this kind of discussion. Yeah.
I have another experience that people who are not attached, like we had a program in one place, and shlokas came one after another in the public. And the public means regular program and still playing there. Like why the elder ladies come? And after a few shlokas, they stop coming. So I asked Satya Machine Prabhupada, why they're not coming? I said, all the time you're speaking about sex, they don't want to hear, they don't like to hear.
In traditional Indian culture, then you don't talk openly about sex, especially in the presence of women.
That's my question.
But the Shastra is generally meant for this kind of instruction is generally imparted to men, if it's in a public assembly. And then the men are supposed to speak it to their wives. But there are Puranas also. In several of the Puranas we'll find such descriptions. But mostly stories in the Puranas, but there is this kind of thing also, in other Puranas also. I haven't read it. All the Puranas, but definitely in Garuda Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there are some descriptions like this also. Padma Purana must be there. Generally, the. Yeah.
No, my question, when a shloka comes like this, do you speak?
We speak. Should we speak? Yeah. Should we speak all these things? Well, like I say, Prabhupada did. He emphasized this very much, actually. Some critical observers, academic observers, he talked about this a lot, more than is general. But I think he did that because there was a need, because it's being emphasized so much in the modern world. There's more need for that. This Bhartrihari, he wrote the Sringar Shataka and also Vairagya Shataka, both. One is about love making, the other one is about renunciation. What's the other one he wrote was Niti. Niti Shataka, yeah. So he wrote three. So one, I guess he wrote the Sringar Shataka when he was still a king, and then the Vairagya Shataka after he renounced. So it's all there. It's all meant for different people. Different people in different levels. Men and women should be separated, and marriage and polygamy, they're also recommended, yeah. Well, I didn't elaborate on that, but I stated that it's necessary for most people to accept a wife on the principle of dharma, to regulate that and purify that. Otherwise, without that, then you're just like a cat and a dog. So the attachment, it's understood that you can't just give up the attachment overnight. So you enter into that, but on the principle of dharma, so that it can be purified. And in Krishna consciousness, that means that we manasa deho geho jo kichuma apiluntu apade nanda kisha. Everything is, that consciousness should be developed, that everything I have, which I think is mine, should be offered to Krishna. Hmm. Polygamy means more entanglement, yeah? Then you should go on hearing from sadhus. Stane stita shudigatang tanuvang manobe. Go on, you remain in your position and you hear. And then the time should come when you, and the time should come in your life. This is the Vedic system. Brahmacharya, garhastya, vanaprastha. The time should come when you become, and we see many instances of both the king and the queen, they're living a luxurious life, and then all of a sudden said, okay, enough, finished. And the king will leave and the wife will go also. She's used to a luxurious life, but she'll, there are descriptions there in the Bhagavatam. Archi, the wife of Prithu, there are many. Gandhari, there's so many. So that's in the culture. That just like there was Sati, nowadays you can't imagine, but the wife would voluntarily, of her own accord, go on the fire. The culture is there, the precedent is there, they're ready to do it. Because others have done it, others are doing it, and so the precedent is there. Precedent is there, so they can do it. Even though it may seem, for us nowadays it seems very difficult, impossible, but that was going on regularly. It's not that every woman was forced onto the fire. Mostly it was voluntary. During the Muslim time it was voluntary because they had to get permission from the Muslim rulers to do it and they would try to dissuade them, but mostly the women say, no, I'm going. Roop Kanwar in Rajasthan in the 1980s, a young woman. Her husband died, she went on the fire. And then the government came and stopped all the celebrations and this and that. Because they understood she's a great, great person, yeah. Sati, that word is synonym of sadhvi, saintly woman. Even to say this now, what I just said, is illegal in India. To disrupt Prabhupada's books, where it says, gives the understanding behind it, is illegal actually. There are so many illegal things going on in India. That's what I said, even to speak about it is, after the Roop Kanwar case, they made it, that even to promote it, or speak in favor of it, is illegal. Oh yeah, hit, yeah. Yeah, there may be many, at least, by culture, it was there in India that people, they're married, but after they have one or two children, they live as brahmacharis. That was quite common. Quite common. Because the preaching is there like that. There are so many sadhus going, say, the goal of life is not set, because it was preached, the people coming around, sadhus, and even the grihasthas themselves may preach it to their sons, that the goal of life is not sense gratification, and they live like that themselves. Prabhupada, from his own father, when he thought, I'd like to marry another wife, I don't like this one who was arranged for me, then his father said, no, it's good, if you don't like her, that's good, you can become detached in future. He didn't immediately tell him to become detached. It would be good for you to become detached. He thought, so that understanding was there among men and women and everyone. But nowadays people know nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They know nothing about all these things. So we should speak these things. When we meet people, we should tell them and establish this culture that when we meet people, we tell them that the goal of life is self-realization and get free from this material world which is full of suffering. The point that this material world is full of suffering is easier to impress on others nowadays. That's one thing. Because previously, what I saw in Indian family life, people were more or less content. And that contentment is an obstacle for spiritual advancement. But now you can tell people the world is full of suffering and everyone in India will mostly... They'll agree, especially young people who've got good jobs. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I just wanted to add a comment on I have also the experience when we speak on small villages, small towns about these topics of sex and everything. Many people they think that these people must be pure if they are speaking confidently on these topics. Because the other way around also, if we are speaking simply on them, because people who have not do not control, they feel shy speaking on these topics. Because speaking again and again, they think these must be confident.
One thing, old people also, it's not that they've given up sexual desire, even in their old age. They like to get their sons and daughters, and they become happy to see their sons and daughters. Yesterday I mentioned that Nityananda Vansha Vistar, the expansion of the family, they become happy in that. Prabhupada, he gave some example of his wife's, one of his wife's grandmothers was always telling his, Prabhupada's young wife, telling her, she would say to Prabhupada, telling him how he should grab her, she was very anxious to encourage them. And we see in the modern age pornography, Prabhupada mentioned old people in Paris, old men will pay $100 to go to some club to see naked women. They can't do anything, but anyway. It's sad to see people wasting their life in this way. But also, people may not like to hear it, but they really do need to hear it. They may not be ready to at all. It may be just too much for them to take. But people really need to. This is the basic principle of material existence. It's the cause of all our suffering in this world. People need to hear that, isn't it? It could be put in a roundabout way, family life, this, that. Bhagavatam says here, Pungsa Striya Mithuni Bhava. It's specifically the attraction between male and female. Can a husband remarry if the wife dies? Yeah, this is a technical question. Yeah, you can remarry even if she doesn't die. You don't have to kill your wife to get remarried. Oh, that's in Vedic culture. In modern Indian culture, for non-Muslims, you have to wait until the wife is dead or something. If you want more than one wife, then Allahu Akbar. But even they don't do it much nowadays. Muslims are also not... Yeah, okay, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. On that... The whole point of the class, it's a bridge preaching, a devious way to get you to become Muslims. Now you can go to the converttoislam.com website. And actually people do that. There's some film star and this and that. Because he wanted another wife, he became a Muslim. In India someone. But at home he's a Hindu, but his name is officially changed. And things go on like this. Hare Krishna. Sabko Sanmati De Bhagavan. As Mahatma Gandhi said. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.